Welcome to GenCast, a sponsored podcast series brought to you by Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News. I'm your host, Jeff Bogaliskus. When reflecting upon the issue surrounding global human expansion, it would be difficult not to think about the Asia-Pacific region, which contains more than 60% of the world's population, China alone constituting greater than 30% of that figure. Sustained reflection on this topic recalls to mind the philosophical notion that the real problem is not population explosion, but what the population is doing. Well, one thing this population is focused on is biopharma, as it has become a booming industry in the region, with China in particular becoming a major global drug manufacturer in recent years. As the biopharmaceutical industry in China grows, so does the demand for regulatory oversight and the proper implementation of standards to put the National Medical Products Administration, the new name for the Chinese FDA, more in line with other regulatory agencies such as the EMA and the US FDA. With that in mind, the MLAB Collaboration Center saw an opportunity to partner with the NMPA and leverage its extensive regulatory experience to improve the overall success of the burgeoning Chinese biopharma industry.
By growing so fast on the market, it also brings a lot of challenges, a lot of new technologies, which is quite common in Europe and the US. But here, not only are our manufacturers new to the technology, but also the authorities have a lot of concerns about whether they use this technology correct. So about several years ago, we are working with Chinese authorities to make the guideline for how to use the single-use technology. Because right now, if you look around, I think especially biosimilar industry, they use heavily and they heavily rely on this technology. And another very good example is from 2016, we have been working with Chinese authorities about sterile filtration technology and application guide. And if you think sterile filtration is a very core technologies in biopharmaceutical, and it has been there for a long time, but still Chinese authority feels they found out a lot of problems when they are doing the inspection. So we collaborate and drafted this guideline, and the draft version is published in December 2016. In last year, 2017, we have held 7 authorities trainings with 1,000 plus GMP officers. So in September this year, we have official launched the application and technology guide.
That was Miles Shi, who is based in China and is associate director covering vaccine and viral therapy markets for Merck. China, however, is not alone in its endeavors to be instrumental for the biopharma surge that is rampaging its way through Asia, as there has been clear demand from key players in the region, such as Samsung Biologics, for additional technical training.
As you know, the Samsung Biologics has been growing fast with their strong drive to the market and is now the world's largest pharmaceutical CMO company. And they established the 2011. Samsung Biologics has built 3 manufacturing plants and is continuously planning to expand their capacity. Despite its world largest capacity, the 3 plants are running on a full schedule for next year. It's amazing. And in this demanding situation, it was fundamental to look for human resource. And now they have hired about 1,100 of new employees every quarter. So since the employees were relatively young, Samsung was eager for expertise and experience. This was when we started our training partnership with Samsung Biologics. Additionally, we offered a customized training program, which was differentiated from competitor. At the time, we already ready with a differentiated program. This became one of the most important factors for our pure relationship. The program covered from basic to advanced, as well as hands-on level.
Charles Park, who's based in Korea, is a manager of manufacturing science and technology at Merck. With such an ambitious and comprehensive training program being put into place, I asked Charles what Samsung's assessment of the program has been and the outlook for the future.
Their feedback was so positive and constructive. trainees became more confident on what they are doing. And Samsung, and we put a lot of effort on training, and this was only possible through a solid and reliable partnership. We continuously, it has been 3 years that we are having partnership on training, that we are not staying where we are. The latter, we have continuously developed and improved ourselves to provide quality contents, and this will continue.
Miles added to Charles's story by describing how their success at Samsung allowed the MLab collaboration centers to broaden their training programs to other biopharma production sectors.
I think Charles mentioned a very good story in Samsung. What I want to say is we see the success in Samsung, and we expand this customized training to other segment too. If you look at vaccine industry, although this is a very traditional industry, and they already sell a lot of products in Asia. However, if you look at the vaccine customers in Asia, they are facing quite a lot of challenges. First of all, they are not the big four vaccine manufacturers. They are more middle-sized to small companies. And themselves, they don't have a lot of expertise and experience in current technology application. And also, although they have a lot of products selling on the market, but a lot of processes are very old-fashioned. They use, for example, precipitations. This is a very long time consuming and not close operation. So they do have the needs to give the process update. And we receive a lot of training requests from them. So by saying that, we hosted collaboration training with DCVMN, which is a developing country vaccine manufacturer networking, in February in Singapore. And it received a very, very positive feedback. When we're doing the ramp up, and we realize we need to do something to address this urgent needs of vaccine customers in Asia. That's why we started a global project, which is pulling the global expertise and resources together and develop a whole new vaccine bioprocessing training to address the latest technology trends, how to apply them in our customers' process, and how to implement them. So the training will cover, the core body of the training is technology, but we will also discuss some hot topic, for example, QBD, cost modeling, etc. So this whole new training has already been internal tested, and the major target customers are Asia. We will also transfer this to Middle East and Africa.
I agree, fully agree that. I hope to is so fastly adapting Korea for vaccine and plasma customer. Actually, we also had public training, and we sold many vaccine and plasma customer in there and placed that. Actually, we gave them to general and normal training program like TFF and NFF, single use, and process development for the clarification. But if we build and set up the specific program for vaccine, it's a good chance and opportunity for develop the vaccine market.
That's exactly one of the key reasons why we are doing this. Because from process point of view, although we can say they are using the same technologies, but the whole process looks very different when you are working with vaccine or you are working with MAP, especially on vaccine, because we always say vaccine has a lot of varieties. We have bacterial vaccine, we have virus vaccine, we have VRPs. So every different vaccine, they are a little bit different on their process. And the current training material we have right now is mostly developed for MAP. That's why the whole new vaccine bioprocessing training, every slice is rewrite to tailor more to the real application in vaccine segment.
Regardless of the therapeutic area, manufacturing woes, or geographical region, it's become readily apparent that the MLab collaboration centers are ready to take on all challenges with their partners in order to elevate global research and development ventures. Thanks for listening to GenCast. For genetic engineering and biotechnology news, I'm Jeff Podolskis.